Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We'll just do a quick spiel at the start and then we'll introduce you and then
we're off.
Shall I say, I always say exactly the same thing. I never know what to say. I'm now too conscious of my intro.
Pete has a complex about how to introduce his podcast.
Oh my God, I always say literally. Be fearless. Just
Pete, don't worry.
Okay. Right. So this is a slightly different hello today, which won't make a difference to anyone listening, but I'm at home, Dave.
That is exciting, isn't it? Is this going to change how the podcast sounds or how the podcast is received?
I just want to add in a quick warning that the dog is lingering, so if the postman visits or something, you may suddenly hear loads of barking.
That's actually really exciting. So it does affect the podcast because there might be a surprise dog.
Yeah, exactly. I just felt like that was important to clarify before suddenly a dog appears.
Absolutely thrilled. Anyway, welcome to Friends with Friends in our new surroundings with added dog. What an exciting. We are now officially a dog cast.
Yeah, I like that.
My name's Dave Cribb. This is Pete Allison. Hi, Pete.
Hiya.
Should we meet today's friend to talk about
Friends?
Yes,
let's do that.
It's the wonderful television presenter, Lindsay Russell. Hello, Lindsay.
Good morning slash afternoon, nearly, just.
Well, it depends when you're listening to a podcast as well. That's the beauty of them.
Good day.
Good day to you all. Good day, good night. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Don't know when anyone's going to listen.
We don't know.
It's Lent when we're recording it, so.
Oh, yes. Have you given up anything?
No, I absolutely haven't.
Oh.
So it was my birthday on Pancake Day.
I saw that. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. I mean, it's relevant to today's episode, but I've now really passed the 30s. I'm well.
How
into,
far past are we talking?
I've got two threes. There's two threes in my age now.
That's a nice. I always feel like that must be a good place to be at.
I think it's the end of your early 30s, isn't it? Though, like the next one's going to be like, oh, I'm now mid 30s.
Yeah, 35's the next. Yeah. Okay. Turn your phone off. You're 33. Grow up.
Jeez.
God.
Getting stick on my own podcast. But it was my birthday, pancakes, and then you know what it's like on your birthday week. You're like, oh, the day after someone's like, oh, let's go for a birthday drink. And I'm like, well, I can't give up like booze or any bad food for Lent. So Lent will just have to happen without me. It survived this long.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Friends. Scale of 1 to 10. How much do you like Friends? Because we have people on this podcast that love it.
I know.
Obsessed with it.
I know. That's what scares me.
But we've also had people like Luke Franks, who's a mutual friend, who you'll know.
Yes, I love Luke.
Who, he likes Friends.
It's like he's never watched it.
It's like his brain doesn't remember things from more than about 3 weeks ago.
And that's just Luke, though. That's not just with Friends.
Correct. Exactly.
Didn't he end up watching one on a plane? Was that him?
He
got potluck of whichever one that happened to be shown on the plane.
Classic. Well, I'm actually, you guys are partly to blame for the loss of my iPad. Because I thought, right, I'm going on this podcast, I've got a really busy week, I'm going to Leeds, Manchester. So I'll download my top five apps onto my iPad. Left my iPad at the Holiday Inn, didn't I? Haven't seen it since. I actually don't know where I left it,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But if someone does find it, they're going to go into Netflix and be like, because she's only watched Friends lately. And there's all these weird...
five random episodes from different series. So let's talk about your top five then. So
goodness.
You narrowed it down.
So I had Massapequa.
Yeah.
I had, what was the run?
Phoebe Running.
Phoebe Running.
You had the Holiday Armadillo.
Holiday Armadillo.
Yeah.
The one where they all turn 30. Yeah.
I don't think any of them have been picked, have they?
No.
No, it's astonishing.
No, I really read that list carefully. Yeah. You sent me and I say I did the research. I didn't. So here's where I have to put my hands up. Okay. My housemate is like a 10 out of 10. She's called Natalie.
Hey, Nat.
She does listen as well. She loves
Shout out to Nat. Oh, that's nice.
And she's obsessed. So she has three different books on like Friends facts, trivia. She loves it. And when I went to her and said, okay, I need to choose an episode, rather than a normal response would just be like, oh, what about this one? Yeah. What about that one? She was like, okay, We need to think.
Do we want a spreadsheet? Yeah.
Honestly, Excel was open. She was like, do we want a flashback? What kind of era? What kind of, what's your favourite Rachel Hare moment? Like, she really thought about it. So Massapequa came from her, because that's one of her favourite eps. It is Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin is so good.
It's not the one I've gone for.
No, okay, that's good. That's fine.
Thank you, Nat, for the suggestion.
And a great suggestion it is.
Yeah. So she was really helpful.
Great.
So I have to kind of big up her. I'm more of a like 5 out of 10
that's fine.
Friends fan.
That's good.
But it really made me laugh over Christmas because my little cousin's 11. Katie. Hello, Katie. She probably doesn't listen because she's 11, but hi. She heard that rumour. Did you hear that was going round that they're taking Friends off Netflix?
Yes.
So she panicked, having never seen an episode, and she's so cute and tiny and Scottish, and was like, right, I'm going to watch every ep. And it was adorable. That sounded well.
No, that was good. I enjoyed that.
I thought it was a good accent.
Okay.
But, you know,
well, that is what she sounds
like. We're just three English people here, just appropriating Scottish accents.
Was good.
So, yeah.
So, she was like, right, I'm going to watch every single episode. But I think she arrived before New Year.
Right.
And she was on series 7.
Oh, my days.
She had quite a way to go. So we just lost her over Christmas and New Year, bless her. She just sat in the kitchen with headphones on.
So when did she start watching? Like, when did she start from the beginning?
She only started in, like, November. She didn't do any homework. She didn't go to any extra classes. She gave up sports.
She's had to leave school. She's on the dole.
If you've never seen Friends before and you decide that you're going to watch the whole thing, you have so much to get through.
I know. Mm. Bless her.
She's done
and
well.
It's an emotional roller coaster. Like, but what was nice is it, and this is why we all are friends, isn't it? As she was watching the episodes in the kitchen, as she got further on, you know, like Rachel having her baby?
Yeah.
That's where she'd got to by New Year's Eve.
Okay.
She still had a way to go. Bless her. As she was watching that, we were like, take your headphones out, we want to watch it. And we all ended up, as a family, on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's so
stood
nice.
Stood around with champagne, watching Rachel give birth.
And if Netflix had taken it off on New Year's Day...
Oh, no. The world
she would have had to,
ended.
Like, properly watch them on, like, triple
DVD.
Speed. For like, but just for the last 3 hours.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So, which episode have you chosen?
I've gone for the one where they all turn 30.
The one where they all turn 30. Mm. Good episode.
It's unusual because of the way that it sort of jumps between various times, doesn't it? In terms of it tries to get all of their 30 birthdays into the same episode, which means you're jumping all over the place.
When you watch it, it feels like a flashback episode.
Yeah.
You know, like when they do the really cheap clip shows because they've run out of money or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not a clip show. It's like a flashback episode that they've recorded all the flashbacks for.
Yes, and I heard from Nat, my housemate, who knows everything.
Great.
So Phoebe was very unwell when they were recording this.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yes. Yeah. Lise, LK.
Okay.
She was really, Lorraine Kelly. Yeah. She was really unwell when they were recording this. So that's why it's funny, because in all the flashbacks, she's still quite unwell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's got a bit of a husky voice.
Yeah.
And she's losing her voice a little bit as well. But then when she's doing the scenes with Ursula, she's also got the husky voice, which doesn't make sense.
So Ursula's also ill. Yeah. That is... high level knowledge.
No,
that
I'm
is
not
like
messing when
really,
I say that she's obsessed.
That is so deep. Where do you even get that information from?
Maybe that's she just
great.
Knows Lisa.
She's going to have to come on this podcast.
You should
point.
Get her on,
absolutely.
Honestly.
She is booked.
Done.
All right, the one where they all turn 30 then. I'm going to read the little synopsis. It's a very short synopsis this week, Pete. So here it is. It's series 7, episode 14. Mm-hmm. Rachel frets over turning 30, prompting everyone else to remember what they did when they reached the same milestone. And after realising that Tag is too young and immature, she breaks up with him. That's it. That's all they've gone for synopsis-wise. But there is an NB on this Wikipedia synopsis.
Oh, wow.
We're all excited by the NB, and this is part of the note. In episode 10 of series 3, the one where Rachel quits, set in December 1996. This is Nat level of...
Yeah, we've gone way back.
Chandler says Rachel is 28, and so she should turn 33 in this episode.
Yes.
Set in early 2001. Moreover, it is previously said elsewhere in seasons 4 and 5 that Rachel was born on May the 5th and not in the wintertime. So there you go.
When I watched this episode, I was trying to work out which of them genuinely looked closest to 30, and I settled with Matt LeBlanc.
Right. So they were all much older, right?
Yeah, I've got their ages here, because I did this morning, and because Chana's the youngest of all of them in real life.
Right.
Which I didn't realise. Lisa Kudrow was... I think
where's she from there?
I think that's how you say it. Scotland.
Scottish, yeah.
Lisa was 37. at the time when they filmed this. Yeah, I know. Older than I thought. And Courtney Cox, 36. David Schwimmer, 34. Matt LeBlanc, 33. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston was 32 3 days after filming this episode.
Okay, so it's plausible.
And Matt Perry, 31.
So he is basically the only one really
near to 30. Vaguely accurate.
It is a bit mad, isn't it, that they... Friends is very strange because it's like one of the biggest TV shows ever.
Mm.
And I would have presumed that their budget would include someone that just at least keeps a vague track of like, how old were they like 4 years ago? Should we do an episode where they all turned 30? No, that doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, there's a lot of strange content. Like in this episode, there's really weird continuity errors. Like,
Like
Rachel's got a bow on her dress on at her, one point and then the next shot is just gone.
There's a disappearing runner as well. We'll come on to the bit with Ross's car a bit later. But there's one bit where they're trying to slide the car out from next to the pavement. And just as they do so, there's a runner going past them. And then it cuts and the runner just disappears completely. They're just gone.
There's also a really subtle one in Monica's birthday party, which, again, we'll come on to, where they're all having a chat and Gunther's stood in the kitchen.
Oh, wait, what?
So it's really subtle. I just noticed this one. But Gunther stood in the kitchen, like right at the back, and it cuts to Phoebe saying a line, and then it cuts back and Gunther's like by the bathroom, just having a different conversation with a different person. And it's a space of half
that's
a second.
Gunther, isn't it?
Gunther. I mean, why is Gunther at the party? We'll come on to that as well. There's a lot of problems with that party. But okay, where do we start? Who do you want to start with? Rachel. So it's basically Rachel, Phoebe, Monica, and Ross. They're the four storylines, aren't they? Because Chandler and Joey just.
Their flashbacks are
like
horrific.
10 seconds. Yeah.
Joey's is 10 and Chandler's is 13 seconds.
And that's it. That's
and
all
Joey's like, isn't his. He's just going like, why, God? Yeah.
The basis of Joey's is just that he cries all the time, isn't it? And then Chandler's is ruined because of Joey crying, and that's it.
Yeah.
Chandler gets a real rum deal in this episode because, like, at least Joey's is showing a bit of his personality, and then Chandler's 30th is just Joey's personality again.
I read that originally, I don't know where this has gone in my little. I actually made notes for this podcast.
I'm glad.
I've got to do the scrolling thing again. Well, I read this thing that the original version of this episode was 40 minutes.
Right. So
Did you read that?
This is the really interesting... Yeah, on NBC.
Maybe that's why their flashbacks are so short. Because they were just rubbish.
So if you read like a synopsis, like a full synopsis, which I'm not going to do because it's like 17 paragraphs. But
no, I'd like you to
loads
do
of stuff.
Come on.
Maybe this is just me reading the internet. That could be our podcast, Pete. Dave and Pete, read the internet. There's loads of... things that happen that are just cut from this thing because it's basically the version on Netflix or on DVD now is half the length of
what happened.
I don't know. So
have
apparently,
you seen the 40-minute app? I need to find this.
I don't know if I ever have seen the 40-minute app. So the 40-minute
app. That's a huge amount to have cut down, like half of it.
So the reason was, I think it was, there was another show on, I think it was Survivor or something big at the time, and they were trying to counter-program against it. So NBC were like, all right, Survivor's starting on whatever channel it's on. We're going to have to put a buttload of Friends out to, like, compete with that. So they obviously just went, maybe, you know how normally we, like, record a good 40 minutes and then chop it down? Should we just not do that?
just leave it all in.
Just leave the long cut. I imagine a 40-minute episode was just loads of outtakes and, you know, Joey crying for ages. But
yeah, more
very,
Joey.
Very strange, isn't it? I'm not sure I've ever...
Because it's quite a basic episode.
It doesn't feel like there's much more story to tell.
That's what I mean. Like, there's not... I love this episode for the flashbacks and for whatever and all the stuff that happens. But yeah, there's not a lot to it. Rachel just has a birthday that she doesn't enjoy. How can that stretch to 40 minutes?
I know. It's very odd, isn't it? So Rachel's... So this is interesting. So all right, we're going to have to... I'm afraid... I wouldn't normally ask a guest to disclose their age on the podcast.
Okay, yeah.
But I think in the interests of the sort of breakdown around the age of 30... We should all, because I know my age, I know Pete's age.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fall on the 30 meridian?
Okay, so I've just had my 28th birthday, which felt really good.
Great.
So I was fine until 2019 happened. Then I realised that I could say, oh, I'm 30 next year. And then that's kicked off my breakdown.
Right.
A little bit early. Yeah, I'm having a real, like, oh, I just need to bin off loads of friends and, like, become a vlogger and dump my boyfriend. And just, like, I've done some really weird things lately. And when I say to people I'm 30 next year, they go, no, you're not. Are you? No, you're not. Because I'm only 29. Like,
So you're 29 this year, 30 next year. Okay, so you're having the Rachel breakdown.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I'm having a real thing about what am I doing with my life.
Have you got a bucket list? Like,
so I haven't got a bucket list, but there's definitely things that I, like, want to achieve by the time I'm 30. I think the problem is when you know 30's around the corner, you set kind of life goals for yourself that just came out of nowhere, that were never actually there before you started panicking about 30. Does that
you
make
were
sense?
Never worried about, exactly,
no.
Yeah.
I didn't care before. I was really happy, like, and still am, like, being a Blue Peter presenter, that's quite good.
I was going to say, ultimately, you're a very successful person. Like, but there's millions of people around the country that would kill to have your job.
Yeah, I know that. That's what the logical thing
is. Yeah. That's what the external voice is saying.
Yeah, yeah. But then your 30 next year voice goes, you've done nothing. You are awful. Where are your kids? Where's your marriage? Why aren't you on Strictly?
I think it's interesting because we're watching Friends. So Friends, this isn't like 2001, something like that. And I feel like 30 back then was deemed much more grown up. You're supposed to have all your stuff together by then.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I think you're
Monica
right.
Because Monica and Chandler in this episode, you know, she makes the joke about we're having kids soon, like it or not.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now that's a bit mad to me. I don't actually know many of my friends my age or even a couple years older than me that are even married, let alone have kids or have done any of that.
It feels very cliche to say 40 is the new 30, but I genuinely do think it is.
I really hope it is too, because that gives me a lot more time.
Rachel does all her calculations as well about when she should have achieved certain things as well. And that in itself feels like quite a dated thing of this amount of kids
no,
by
Pete,
30.
Oh, no, Pete, that's not a dated thing.
Is it not?
Oh, no, no, no. I do that all the time.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's quite psychopathic, some of the stuff you say.
I feel like this episode's really going to be delving into your sort of brain.
I think that's why I've chosen it. Yeah. I genuinely...
Psychological
I
state.
I really get what Rachel's meaning and what she's doing.
It's really interesting because I was going to... Like, the first note I made was sort of like, why is she making such a big deal? It's only 30. I turned 33 years ago. I had a great time.
But did you not have a breakdown?
No,
a
lovely party and woke up with a hangover at the end and just had a nice time.
There is a bit of a feeling amongst all the conversations that they're having as well that this is the point at which the whole early series of Friends are all about them going on dates and it going badly and breaking up with boyfriends and stuff, and this is kind of the point at which it all steps up and matures and becomes about marriage and children. Like, I felt like this point onwards, that's where Friends becomes about that. It feels like quite a clean break. Like, she gets rid of Tag, she dumps him because she recognizes she doesn't want to be with him forever, and then that's the point at which it all gets adult.
Yeah.
And even there's that comment, isn't there, between her and Ross, that's kind of to hint, because it's by the end of this series, right, that she's pregnant
with
Ross's
child.
Yeah. So Tag's the last kind of sexual partner that she has before it.
Okay,
I mean, she snogs Joey a bit.
Let's forget about
lovely.
That. We'll not forget. Lovely. Who wouldn't want to snog Matt LeBlanc? Just a little bit. But yeah, it's a weird one. I was watching this and I sort of agree with what you're saying, Pete, is that like, Friends was for quite a while, like a young, cool, like, look at these cool people. Aren't we jealous of their lifestyle in New York? And then it does feel like it just flips up in a way that nothing really does. Like, you don't watch or listen to programs or listen to radio stations. They're all so obsessed with like being the thing they always were. Do you know what I mean? Like, like certain radio stations that just have to be really young and cool, and they never will be like talking about being 30. But suddenly Friends are just like, yeah, do you know what? We're all 30. It's fine. We'll just change. This is just a different bit of our lives now.
Do you think the writers were panicking a bit because they were all like absolutely older than 30?
Yeah.
They needed to reference that.
Right.
Maybe.
So they've obviously been playing like, because I think Courtney Cox was 30 when Friends started.
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be like 23. Yes. So there's obviously something about like, you can play down to a certain age, do you know what I mean? But then they're going, we can't get away with them. It's not like The Simpsons where you're
like, maybe let's just confront this. Yeah. Do a whole episode about it. So
let's just head on go, guys, everyone's older now. That's fine. They all look a bit different. It's all good. Can we talk about Tag?
Oh, can we?
Can we talk about Tag?
Can we ever?
Give me your overall opinion of Tag.
Do you know what? What I remembered of him from this episode, I would have been like, oh, Tag, what an idiot.
Yeah.
But actually, when I watched it back, I was like,
it's quite sweet,
Tag's
isn't he?
Actually quite sweet and mature.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, he wakes up on his girlfriend's birthday, who's having an absolute breakdown. He's very calm about it.
Mm.
Gets her a scooter, nice thought, and then gets dumped on a step.
Such like, a sad episode for Tag, isn't it?
I was actually like, do you know what, Tag? I've got a lot of time for you. And he takes that dumping very well.
Yeah. He does.
He's actually quite mature about it.
He's very mature. I mean, he's clearly not 24. That's why. Yeah. Tag looks about 35. 40. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's also very decisive of Rachel to be like, no, 30th birthday, this is the cutoff point. What am I doing? Don't want to be with him. Dumped him. And then goes back to her party afterwards.
Yeah, and they're all like, how did that go? And she's like, yeah, great.
Yeah, that is interesting.
As if she's just gone to like get the mail quickly.
Yeah, it's very routine.
That is a very strange thing to do mid-birthday party, isn't it?
Tag deserves better.
Also, another thing I noticed, they're having Rachel's birthday party at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I wondered, hang on, whoa. Guys, it's got to be at work. And because once, the nicest thing another housemate ever did for me on a birthday, on a work day, was left out toast for me to toast myself.
Just left out some bread.
And was like, oh, here you go. And had put, it was really cute, had got my favourite crunchy peanut butter and jam and was like, there you go, have a good one,
have a
see
nice
you
breakfast.
Later.
Yeah.
Because obviously we do dinners, don't we?
Sure, yeah.
Birthday meal, birthday pub, whatever.
All humans do that, though.
Yeah.
No human not them. Does birthday breakfast. But it seems to go on all day as well.
Yeah.
So they have breakfast.
Because Rachel's in her PJs for the whole episode.
Yeah, and then they're just sitting around all day, tags over, going scooting, breaks up.
A lot happens by like 11 a.m. birthday.
Real bad day for Tag. Poor lad. But that's kind of the main element of the Rachel plotline, isn't there? So then we've got the two major ones are, oh no, there's three other major ones, which is kind of strange for an episode of Friends. But the Ross storyline is, I think, my favourite.
Is it?
Yeah. I think this is excellent David Schwimmer moments.
It is.
Yeah, it's a lot of classic
it's
Ross.
The start of some great hysterical Ross episodes as well in the next like couple of series as well.
So Ross, if you haven't watched this one recently, has basically a midlife crisis, gets a sports car.
Yeah.
And it's just trapped between a van and another car, isn't it, for the whole episode, and he's trying to get it out. And there's a couple of moments, the moment where Phoebe gets in and he's trying to get out, and then she just goes, right, who's next? There's just a couple of really
And when they
great,
break into
yeah,
the van
they break
in front,
into the van.
And the alarm goes off and Phoebe just panics and runs
just
away.
Just legs it, and poor old Ross is just sat there.
The thing about them breaking into the van, though, Phoebe like suggests they should break into the minivan so that they can move it, isn't it? That's why she does it. It isn't even mildly questioned by anyone. They're just like, yeah, that's a perfectly rational thing to do. Yeah, let's just break into it. That's fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she gets that tool out of her.
What is that tool?
Overcoat. I don't know.
I've always wondered in films when they have the like breaking into a car tool.
Yeah, what is it? It's like a thin
metal ruler.
Yeah, it's exactly one of those measuring sticks
like that you got
from
school.
Yeah, exactly what I thought.
Is that what it is?
What else?
And
what
is that doing? Because you slip it through the window.
I mean, you are questioning me on something of which I have no idea. Like, zero. Yeah. I've got nothing to offer here. Like,
have you ever broken into a car?
I have never. No, I haven't ever broken into a car. The only time. So when I was 8, I was on holiday in rural Ireland where my family all are from. And I locked the keys in the car by mistake. God. But this is like before anything was like electronic. So it was just like, that's it. The car
that's
was gone.
That's the end of that. Yeah.
Nowhere to go. And just by coincidence, a man walked past whose job was to take windows out of buildings and cars.
What?
It was so mad.
And he sounds shifty.
It was at the time. I was like, this is lucky. I was like 8.
What a job. How do you fill out your tax return?
I do not know. But basically, it was like Phoebe. It's like he just opened his coat, got a thing out, took the entire window out of a car, which at the time blew my mind.
Yeah, wow.
Like just the whole seal and everything.
Yeah, with a sucker thing.
Yeah, just right. Everything just came out. And I was like, this is insane. Also, you could just break into anything you want if you've got that tool.
Yeah, if you've got that sucker.
And then he just got the keys back out. This is completely irrelevant, but that is the extent of my knowledge on how to get into cars when they're locked.
It's just funny that like Phoebe whips it out of the jacket.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? She's got a lot of hidden skills.
She really does. That's so Phoebe, though. I do believe that Phoebe would know how to break into a car.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And I believe that she would have that tool that is only for breaking into cars. But yeah, I think there's some just great David Schwimmer moments, him getting more and more frustrated. And the lift and slide.
Is it lift and slide? Yeah.
Lift and slide. It's basically just pivot all over again, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the couch pivot scene, just basically reworded.
I love when Ross gets really stressed about something. There's nothing better than, for example, there's nothing better than a drunk Monica.
Right.
And there's nothing better than a flappy Ross.
Yeah.
The great Ross bit is when he claims to be a big fan of cars, always been interested in cars, and Joey asks him, what's the horsepower? And he says, I don't know, but look how shiny. Like, that is exactly my knowledge of cars as well. I know no details. Does it look nice? Yes, therefore I want it. That's all I've got.
But that, yeah, I just think the Ross, the lift and the whole thing is great. And then that storyline comes to a head in those post-roll credits where they finally get into the car. And a overweight bald man drives past with the same car.
He's actually not bald. He has really horrific hair.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah, wound that bit back.
He should have. Yeah, he should shave his head at that point. It's that point in a man's life where you're losing your hair.
Let it go.
But yeah, exactly. Need to accept the fact you're going bald. Just shave it. And he doesn't. So it looks really weird. Looks like Professor Weetos.
Yeah. Yes.
Professor Weetos. What a reference.
Yeah, wow.
That's the first thing that came to mind. I don't know why.
We're trying to garner a global audience for this podcast. Sorry. I don't think the Americans and Canadians
Professor
and Australians.
Professor Weetos was a character on an advert who was responsible for the overly scientific creation of cereals.
Yes, he made Loops chocolatey, didn't he?
I mean,
that was his scientific breakthrough.
I haven't looked at Professor Weetos for quite some time.
I'm looking now.
I think he's been retired, but
oh, he's horrid. I've just Googled him.
Can I have a look, please?
Real wispy hair.
Oh wow!
How do you spell Weetos?
Yeah, so I put an H in. Don't do that.
Weetos.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
If we don't get a hashtag spawn for Weetos out of this, then I'll be livid.
Anyway, where were we?
Where were we?
It's very hard
How
to tell.
How do we go from Ross and Clark?
The hair on the man.
The non-bald, overweight man.
Yeah.
So whenever I watch a scene like this in Friends especially, or in any show, I always feel sorry for the actor that plays that role.
I thought that. You've been cast as
He's answered a casting call for fat, balding man, basically.
Is that how stuff gets cast? I've always wondered this. If you require, for the sake of a scene, I don't know, someone who's quite heavily overweight, do you have to put out a casting notice saying we are looking for a very overweight person?
I think physical
type, don't they? But the thing is, there's probably ways of wording it a bit nicer if it's like a casting call. But ultimately,
lovely curvy Mr. Weeto looking Professor Weeto.
But ultimately, he's going to watch that episode. The actor.
Well, he's got to tell his friends at parties when he goes, I'm in Friends. Oh, cool. What do you play?
Yeah.
Oh, this is fat, ugly old man at the end.
I play the guy that none of the friends want to be. And them seeing me makes them realise how bad life could be.
Ross needs to sell a car.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to make a drastic decision. Yeah, exactly. Pete, I can hear you typing, Pete, and you're looking up the man that played the man in the car, aren't you?
What I'm looking up on IMDb is I'm looking at what they referred to that character as. IMDb's description of him doesn't reference his appearance. It is very simple. It just says, the man in sports car.
Okay.
Oh, so that's what it probably said on the
He's got a good agent.
Contract.
He's got a good agent.
Yeah,
his agent's
nice.
Like, can we change the character name from Fat Baldy to Man in Sports Car?
The nature of the joke is that it's someone that Ross wouldn't aspire to be, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
That's why the joke's there.
What's his name? What other work does he do?
Wayne Edward Sherwood is his name. This says that he's actually in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Johnny Depp.
Oh my gosh, Wayne.
He has an uncredited role. Oh, there you go. Uncredited role as a sheriff making out with his wife next to Johnny Depp's character. He has a very diverse CV. Fear and Loathing, Friends, and also Legally Blonde 2.
Who is he in Legally Blonde 2?
He plays someone that, again, stereotypically would have his appearance, sound technician.
Sound technician. Yeah, he is. If you were casting a sound technician...
I'm just reading. But he was in a TV movie called Net Force, and the name of his character was Fat Lout.
Oh, well, there you have it.
He was in a video film of something called Chantal, and he played sleazy casting director.
Okay, see, we're getting
his resume. He's getting typecast. Mm. Poor old Wayne.
Also, his star sign is Pisces.
Oh, same as me.
Good to know.
Maybe that's my future, guys. Cheers, Pete.
It's all right.
It's a bleak old mood this podcast's taken.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat!
Find us on Twitter at AlwaysTherePod.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, let's talk about Phoebe, shall we? Phoebe's 30. So the premise of this bit is Phoebe loses a year of her life.
Yeah.
Which is quite a sort of melancholic, sad storyline, isn't it? It's like actually quite a nice one, like this Phoebe plotline. So she loses a year of life because she goes to see Ursula.
Okay, have you spoken about this on the podcast before, that Ursula's played by her sister?
The back of Ursula, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I always thought, wow, that's a really good cheek, because you sometimes see the side of...
Oh, hang
cheek.
On. Yeah. So when they need them both to appear in the same shot, the back of Ursula is Lisa Kudrow's sister?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's always good value, Ursula. I mean, she's a terrible, terrible, terrible human, but...
Yeah. One thing that didn't make sense is when Phoebe asks her, oh, what's my middle name?
Yeah.
Because did Phoebe's mum die when Phoebe was like...
She was like 14 10. Or 15.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So how do you not know your middle name? You would know.
It is implausible a 14 or 15-year-old would not know.
Because we find out that Ursula's is Pamela.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, great name.
And then we will never know Phoebe.
It's so bizarre, isn't
that
it?
That kind of annoys me. I want to know Phoebe.
Yeah, because Phoebe
And Ursula
was...
would know.
Well, Phoebe would
Phoebe
know,
would
surely.
Know. Like, everyone
Phoebe
knows their middle name.
Hasn't spent the first 14 years of her life not knowing her middle name.
Yeah, so that was a bit silly. Mm. Come on.
So Phoebe... So the thing I wanted to talk about with Phoebe is the space hopper.
Yes.
Because what do they call the space hopper? A hippity hop.
Yeah.
No, it had... Yeah. Is that what they call it?
She says, oh, yeah, bounced a mile on a hippity hop or something.
What the hell's a hippity hop, guys?
As someone training for a marathon, can I interject?
Yeah.
A mile's quite a long way.
It is a long way, yeah.
Because I think of my running times recently, guys. I've been aiming for like 9 minutes 15 to get a good time, and that's on my legs. So on a hopper,
that's like
you're looking at half an hour.
At least, I'd say like an hour. Like, that is a long time on a hippity hop.
And that's hard on the glutes.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, she does make reference to, she seems to be enjoying it. So maybe she just got...
And then, but she takes it round to her sister's, right?
Right.
To Ursula's.
This is the mad bit.
And this is the mad bit. And then it just disappears. Yeah. She's like, hey, here's a space hopper, hippity hop, whatever, yeah. Blah. And then it's just gone. For the rest of the scene.
It's just not in there. The other mad thing about that is if you look at that from Ursula's point of view, she has no context that Phoebe has done a mile on a hippity hop and that was one of her life goals. And actually, you know, she has none of this. So based on the fact that if someone just knocked at your door and said, happy birthday, here's a space hopper, you'd be like,
go away.
That is the worst present anyone's ever given me. That
apart from a scooter.
Apart from a scooter. I don't know. I'd enjoy a scooter, guys.
Would you?
Yeah, I mean,
I find it really weird when people, when grown adults scoot
to work. Yeah, someone I know has got a scooter.
No.
He's 36
years old. If I met a
guy
and we fell madly in love
yeah.
and then he was like, oh, I'm just going to hop on my scooter. That would
break
be the
it
end.
Off.
Yeah. Skateboard's quite cool, but rollerblades, that would really
Skateboard's not
well.
Cool if you're older than like, older Correct. Than your 20s, I think.
Do you think?
If you're in your 30s and you're still skateboarding, unless you're Tony Hawk.
Yeah, no, I mean, oh, I don't know, I think it's quite cool.
You see like a 30-year-old man skating around town to like this meeting.
Cool guy. But rollerblades would be my absolute like get out.
I'm astonished by the line you've drawn between the skateboards and rollerblades. I think they're all in the same category.
Though I wouldn't want to take a skater home to my, like, mum and dad.
No.
Especially because I live, like, next to a farm where my parents live. So you'd have to, like, skate down our little path.
I think skaters can sometimes walk. Oh, but yeah, they have to go over on a skateboard. He could probably just get in the car with you, if I'm honest.
Hop in. Yeah, no, true.
What were we talking about? Oh, Phoebe. Yeah. Phoebe on the Space Hopper. So she has this whole big bucket list of things she wants to do. She does the mile on the Space Hopper. She goes to Ursula's. Ursula's like, here's my birth certificate. And then I've given yours away. And then that's kind of it. And then that resolves, doesn't it, when Joey kisses her at the end.
Kisses her very tenderly as well.
It's so nice. And I rewatched that this morning. And genuinely, it gives me goosebumps. That's a nice moment.
Right.
It reflects well on Joey because he gets up when the rest of them were prepared to let her walk home, where she's clearly quite upset. And then the nice thing is the effect it has on Phoebe is that it clearly has made her feel better.
And but without sounding like a telly loser, it's a really nice change of pace.
It is, isn't it?
But it is. Like the rest of the episode, like, oh, flashback, 30.
Yeah.
Why, really God, nice. Why? And then it's just this lovely moment.
Tender moment, yeah.
I really like it.
Crucially, though, he doesn't walk her home.
Yes, good point. He just goes back to the
room. He goes, I'm going to walk her home because she's upset. He goes, gives her a snog and then goes, cool, I'll be off then.
And by the way, it's not a snog. She wanted the perfect kiss.
Yeah.
And it was just a like, mwah.
Yeah.
Although, the most intimate thing about the kiss is that he puts his hand on the back of her head.
Oh, he does.
That's quite full on.
Maybe her sister stepped in to do the back of the head shot just to give her sister a go.
Maybe that entire storyline is because Lisa Kudrow's sister wanted to smooch Matt LeBlanc. And she's like, guys, can we write this in? It's like, cool, I'm in. Right, so Monica's party.
Oh God.
The final piece of the jigsaw in this episode.
Again, Monica at her best,
Monica,
I think.
Monica, great drunk. Yes. Great drunk acting. Like the moment where, if you haven't seen this recently, Chandler throws a surprise party. She turns up, she's really drunk. And the moment when she pretends to be surprised is brilliant.
She just screams, doesn't she?
A brilliant bit of moment. She just screams and throws her hands up and it's magical.
It also leads to one of my favourite moment in Friends and my housemates, where I think it's Phoebe that just goes, woo, hoo, yeah. Which is so good.
Yeah. This is, excellent Monica. Chandler's trying to sort of make her seem more sober. Here's the thing, right? Who throws a black tie party?
In your own flat.
That is weird.
Yeah, I was thinking that. They all look very uncomfortable, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm. And even there's even reference to like how rubbish the party is, isn't there? Yeah. But if my flat was that big, and bear in mind, my flat's like the size of this very small table in front of us because I live so central. But if my flat was that big, I might do a black tie party.
Yeah, it's an implausibly big apartment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe this is just Chandler knowing Monica really well because she is famous for throwing terrible parties.
Mm.
Like, she throws boring, boring parties, isn't she?
Yeah.
Where everyone's very controlled and... Yeah, so maybe that's it. Maybe he's just gone, this is what Monica likes, but it looks dull.
It really does.
No one's having fun.
But anything with the Gellers. I love when it's an entire Geller situation.
Jack Geller.
Dave, I thought of you as soon as I saw Jack Geller. I knew you'd be loving it.
I do. You love Judy Geller?
Yeah, oh my goodness. I think she's so funny.
Yeah.
And I had a friend at school who I won't name, whose mum literally is... Judy Geller. She used to give us a lift to school, so that gives it away if you're listening, Emily. You'll know it's you. But she was Judy Geller.
No bad thing being Judy Geller.
Just so judgy, but also great.
Yes, and Jack is just so... he's out of this world, isn't he? His brain is nowhere. Yeah, I love Jack. He's just so great. Let's talk about the guest list at the party.
Rogue.
So, who have we got? The six friends. Tick, tick, fine.
Yeah.
Jack and Judy. Fine. Makes sense. Monica's birthday.
Sure.
Eight people we've never seen before who don't say anything to anyone and interact with anyone, and Gunther.
Obviously.
That's your party, guy.
He's always at them, isn't he? He's always just
always
there.
Available.
Yeah.
I reckon as an actor, he was he like the cheapest to rope in of the regulars that are just like, oh, he'll be there. Text his agent, will you? Get him to do this bit.
Estelle can't come, so just get Gunther in. It's fine.
Is Janice available? No. Get Gunther in.
So bearing in mind, this is Monica's 30th birthday, right? Which this whole episode is all about this being a big deal. And so when I turned 30, I had just like a big party with loads of my closest and not quite as close friends, but a lot of people that I really
loved dearly.
They were all there. And Chandler has decided to invite the guy that runs the coffee shop under their building, who they regularly ignore and don't speak to. And then just sort of 8 other people that we've never met. And none of the people that are in Monica's life, apart from the friends, are there.
They're also really quite varied in ages as well. There's some quite old people there as well. Not compared to her parents, but there's just a very weird mix of people.
It is, as we sort of noted before, a very diversely cast group of people of all ages, sexes and races. Like, they've literally got...
It's one of those,
guys, we've got 10 people in. We need to just cast this like sitcom casting.
Were your parents at your
30th? Yeah, they didn't stay late, but they were there.
See, that's not... But you were presumably out and about.
Yeah, so I rented a little bar out.
There you go.
They were there till like midnight and everyone else there till 4.
Okay.
You know, it's that vibes. Yeah.
I don't know.
don't want to brag, guys. I stayed up past 3 a.m.
Whoa.
Which for a 30-year-old is quite something.
Yeah, no, milestone. I don't know if I would invite my parents to my flat.
No.
For my birthday.
No.
Like, I love Sue and Trev, but I don't know if I'd get, like, Trev in a suit.
Yeah.
Kind of black tie.
You might not be quite as relaxed if they were there, would you? Well, Monica's too relaxed. She's drunk, but...
Yeah, true. I mean, Trev's a cool guy, but I just don't know if I'd be like, oh, Mum and Dad, would you mind dressing up and, like, making the train journey and quite a lot of effort just to stand just in to my flat? Yeah.
And be ignored by me.
And the only mention of food is when Joey gets... What are they? Crab cakes,
yeah.
Yeah, so they've got caterers on
they've
board.
They've got caterers and waiters and everything for basically...
Like 16 people.
Yeah, 16 people, 8 of whom do not
eat... In your own flat.
Do not eat or drink anything because they're just extras.
And obviously if that was us, we'd just like go to M&S, get some nice foodie bits.
Monica's a chef.
Yeah.
Like that is a lot of pressure for a caterer. If you're Chandler, you're like, I've got to get this right. And we know it's not the people from her restaurant because that's who she was out getting drunk with.
Other great Jack Geller moment is Chandler complimenting the suit and the wording of how... Jack says something like, oh, Ross was actually conceived near this suit. It's not like... It's not, he wasn't wearing it at the time. Or on it. It was just nearby, and that's enough to make it really unnerving.
Guys, that is textbook Jack Geller.
Yeah.
That
is
everything we love about Jack.
And Chandler's got his arm on his shoulder and just like slowly disgusted by the tux.
Oh, why is it such a big deal that Monica is drunk in front of her parents? That's my question.
It's the sort of thing that might have bothered her when she was about 18. Like
that's what I was kind of wondering.
At the age of 30, you can get drunk in front of your parents.
But Monica's never really been accepted by her parents in the same way as Ross. She is not the favourite child. And in the other episode that I nearly took, Massapequa, that's the one where she makes that speech.
She's trying to compete with Ross. Basically,
yes. And it doesn't go well. And she's like, oh, whatever. Like, have a great wedding. No one
so you think this is part of her sort of
it's all part of
childhood
that.
Trauma of not quite being the favourite.
And kind of being the fat kid and, not being Ross, basically. Because I feel like Ross wouldn't care being drunk in front of them.
No, because they'd forget
And Ross even says at the party, doesn't he? Like, he makes a comment to Monica and then goes, maybe I'm drunk. But it's not a big deal for him being around his parents drunk.
He was drunk.
He was.
Drunk Ross is great.
Yes.
Everyone,
any
then,
Ross is
should
great.
Be just more drunk friends. There's not enough drunk friends.
Yeah,
Americans don't get that drunk.
Highlight of Drunk Monica is, for me, Your Little Harmonica, where she tries to say harmonica and it just comes out terribly.
Harmonica.
That, I hadn't actually noticed that.
Yeah.
That's great attention to detail.
Yeah. It's really good. That's what we do on this podcast, Lindsay.
That's lovely.
Let's finish it off with our attention to detail quiz.
Talking of detail, yes.
Detail.
I heard about this from Nat, my housemate. Not that I haven't listened to every episode, but she has.
Yeah.
And she warned me. She was like, she's Canadian. Are you ready for this quiz? Before I left, that was her parting words to me as I grabbed my keys.
Yeah,
you honestly
so
need to
great.
Get her on. She's so good.
Okay, do you know what? You've already answered one of them, so we'll kick off with that. And
okay.
That's fine. Question one. What is Ursula's middle name?
Pamela.
Done.
Very good. You've already got yourself a point. Question two. What did Monica make for breakfast on Rachel's 30th?
Oh, no. Pancakes? Maple syrup? There's something about maple syrup.
No. I just nearly said it. Pancakes is correct.
Pancakes.
Yeah, what kind of pancakes?
Blueberry?
No, it's chocolate chip pancakes.
Oh, I guess.
But no, that's fine. That's fine. You got pancakes, and that is impressive enough.
I think Rachel mentioned something about maple syrup at one point.
Don't try and claw it back, Lindsay.
No, she does. She's like, I'm just going to enjoy my birthday, have some maple syrup. It's something like that.
Sure, okay.
So that was the
that's
nugget.
That's where that came from. Question three. What happened to Phoebe's birth certificate?
Oh, I think, did Ursula just chuck it away?
No.
I know she doesn't have it in the drawer.
She doesn't have it because she...
Because she sold it. She sold it for money to someone, didn't she?
Yes.
For money, obviously.
We'll give you that. Yeah. Sold it for money. Yeah, yeah. The old classic retail trick. She sold it to a Swedish runaway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Half a point?
Half a point. So that's two halves. So you're on two out of three, so that's not bad.
Okay. Question four. What did Joey get Chandler for his last birthday?
Oh, no.
So the context of this is efforts, Joey says, oh, we only get one present from you guys now you're married.
You're married, yeah. And he went...
And he goes, for my last birthday, you got me a...
Oh, I laughed at it as well.
Yeah, it's a funny moment.
It's a funny moment, but what did he say? I don't know. Pass.
A hug.
It's a hug.
Aww.
It's a hug. Funny moment. Joe's funny line.
A sweet guy, really, isn't he?
It's not a good present, though, is it?
No.
And finally, question five. This is a three-parter. What are the three things that Phoebe wanted to do before she's 31?
Oh, no. I was going to ask you that earlier today as well.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, what were those three things?
Yeah.
Bouncing on the WhatsApp for
no,
a mile.
No, that's her 30th. Don't forget. So she's
by her 31st.
She's got a new batch of targets.
Portuguese. No. Portuguese. Meet a Portuguese person.
Correct. Yeah.
Perfect kiss.
Correct. The third one's a curveball.
Well, obviously it's Phoebe. Can you give me a clue?
It's a sort of military skill that she wants to acquire.
Oh, what?
It's so thrown away that that's why it's weird. It's,
yeah. No, I don't
you
think
don't
I,
quite
I
register
don't think
it.
I went in.
I only registered it because we have to write this quiz.
A military skill?
It's like she...
Fly a red arrow?
No, she wants to go to sniper school. Sniper school! Sure, why not?
Sure.
What are we calling that? So that's two out of three. Three in a bit out of five. That's
yeah,
all right.
I'll take that.
You haven't disgraced yourself.
No, I haven't actually.
Nat won't be disappointed.
Yeah, she won't be angry with you. You've done okay there.
She won't be angry, but I feel like she'll...
She could have done way
better. She'll have answered all five of those questions
yeah,
in a snap.
Done.
That's fine. But let us know what Nat says.
Yeah, I will.
What her reaction to your performance
is. It's okay. I'll go home and tell her my score in a minute.
Yeah, okay. Lindsay Russell, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me.
Thank
you,
Lindsay.
This was great. Thank you.
Had a lovely time. And we'll be back next week for more Friends with Friends. Bye now. You saying bye, Pete?
Oh, Pete? Yes.
Pete, say bye.
I felt like your birthday was sufficiently warm that I didn't need to add one. But yeah, bye.
Oh, look, we're still here. Just a little bit of homework for you for next week's episode. Next week's guest will be newsreader and reporter Victoria Holland, and she has chosen...
I've chosen Season 7, Episode 13, the one where Rosita dies.
That is a banging episode, isn't it, Pete?
It is a very good one. So, yeah, watch that before the next episode, and then you'll know everything you need to know, ready for when we dissect it.
We'll see you there. Bye now.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.